get it almost every night. And when that moon gets a big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight.
Hello, I'm Carol.
And I'm Susan, talking to you today from Tucson, Arizona, a big city that keeps the night sky dark. Welcome to Kickapoo Nightlife, a news magazine where we're exploring our world after sunset, from the stars and planets above to fireflies, frogs, bats, insects and birds, and not least humans too, and how we all benefit from darkness at night. We'll explore the importance of dark nights and dark skies with each program, and how we are all made to live in a world that is dark half of every day.
We'll have news on how you can have effective, efficient, affordable lighting that also helps all the birds, bugs, and critters who, like us, need dark skies for health and well-being.
And we'll be talking with people from around Wisconsin and other places who are working to keep our night skies dark while giving us good light to live by, as well as experts in the fields of biology, medicine, and astronomy who will help us understand the science of how dark skies are as essential to our world as daylight.
Today's program is sponsored by the Lunar Eclipse, a wow event you won't want to miss, and by Sandhill Cranes. They're back and ready to hatch new surprises. Look for them in a wetland near you. Today's quiz question is, where is the darkest sky in the U.S.? Stay tuned. We give you the answer at the end of the program.
And today we have a new segment called Did You Know?, where we share insights about special topics of interest.
Did you know that the lunar eclipse happens when the moon and Earth line up so that the Earth's shadows falls over the moon and darkens it?
During a total lunar eclipse, the moon is completely covered by the darkest portion of Earth's shadow. That's known as the umbra. In a total lunar eclipse, some sunlight still reaches the moon's surface after bouncing through the edges of Earth's atmosphere.
Because our atmosphere scatters blue light, the light that reaches the moon takes on a reddish hue and is called a blood moon. The actual term blood moon dates back to the Inca, who believed that a blood moon was a sign that a jaguar was attacking their moon goddess, Mama Kia, and to the Book of Joel, which described it as a sign of the apocalypse.
But don't panic. The red moon is not a warning of an attack or the end. It's another of the cosmic wonders provided by the universe and a reminder to us of the importance of humankind to care for each other and our world.
Susan, an aspiring young comedian, Bart, sent us some jokes he would like us to share with the listeners. I thought we could use a little levity. After all, he appears to be a rising star.
Well, we can always use stars on this program. What does he have?
We sure can. What do you call it when a star is afraid of the dark?
Well, that's something I don't think people ever think of. I have no idea.
Shooting scared.
Well, Bart, let's see what else you have to offer. Let's see. Here he's got, how does the moon cut its hair?
I didn't know it had hair.
Yeah, I didn't either. Eclipse it.
Oh, jeez.
That's a little better. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
What else?
Why did the sky start a band?
Oh, boy, there's music of the spheres and all kinds of things like that, but I don't know if that's the answer.
No, because it had perfect pitch.
Hmm.
That's a good astronomer's joke, I think.
I guess. I don't know. Well, Bart, you're just getting started, so that's okay. You don't all have to be perfect. Okay, what kind of music is the sky's favorite music?
I suppose it depends upon how it's orchestrated.
Well, yeah, but the sky's favorite music is Neptune's.
Oh, that's good. I like that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did the star never finish its homework?
Oh, there's so many homework excuses. What's the star's homework excuse?
Because it was always light years behind.
Well, that's one most kids probably don't have yet. Well, we got one more from Bart. Let's see what this one sounds like.
Okay.
Why don't scientists trust atoms?
Why don't they trust atoms? I have no idea.
Because they make up everything.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Ooh. Well,
okay.
Those were great, Bart. I think you are a star of the show. I think we'll call you the Cosmic Comic.
That's good. He can work on his material, and maybe he'll come back later. Well, Carol, we have a question from a listener named Carl, and he lives in Rhinelander. He says, Susan and Carol, I enjoy listening to your podcast of Kickapoo Nightlife. Thanks for this interesting program. My partner and I have a yard floodlight. We like it because we can see everything and feel very secure. We enjoy the stars, but why would we want to replace this light with some dim light?
Thanks for listening and for your question, Carl. Dark sky lighting doesn't mean dim lighting. It really is smart lighting. Thoughtful lighting installations limit light to where it is needed and only in the amounts necessary. This approach eliminates light going up into the sky and reduces overlighting, glare, and lighting that spills out past its intended area. Blue light is scattered more easily by air molecules, which means it travels further and illuminates a larger area of the sky. This contributes to sky glow, a phenomena. LED 2200 Kelvin lights help to control this problem.
Well, many people assume brighter outdoor lighting automatically equates increased safety. I think the listener's idea that they can see everything is not really accurate. Research demonstrates that dark sky lighting, while it minimizes light pollution, doesn't compromise safety, and it can even improve it by preventing glare and creating better visibility in key areas. Poorly directed light creates shadows where people and critters we might be afraid of could hide. The key is to use properly shielded fixtures that only illuminate where they're needed.
Visibility should always be the goal. Glare from bright, unshielded lights actually decreases safety because it shines into our eyes and constricts our pupils. This can not only be blinding, but it also can make it more difficult for our eyes to adjust to low light conditions.
Outdoor motion sensor lights are a perfect addition to any residential or commercial property. They offer enhanced security by deterring potential intruders, and they provide significant energy savings by only activating when needed, and they add convenience by automatically lighting up key areas without manual intervention.
Carl, when thinking security, think smart lighting, which will meet your goal for safety, protects the environment, and enhances your night sky viewing experience.
Well, Carol, you have some observations about local light pollution. Would you like to share them with our listeners?
I sure would, Susan. These are thoughts that I've had for a while. I am increasingly concerned about light pollution affecting our viewing of the night sky. it is becoming more difficult to see the constellations and interferes with being able to fully view special celestial events, such as the alignment of the planets that happened last February. It makes me wonder what unscheduled spectacular events we miss because light pollution blocks our seeing them. I was thinking about this issue the other evening when my partner, Bruce, and I were riding back from northern Wisconsin. Since he was driving, I had an opportunity to look through the windows and watch the sky as the sun set and the stars began to appear. I was able to observe Orion, Aldebaran, and Canis Major, and so many other stars and constellations. However, as we drove into Viroqua, a glow appeared on the horizon, and the stars weren't as bright and disappeared or dimmed due to the amount of light pollution being produced. It was very disturbing. One of our greatest assets in the Kickapoo Valley, the night sky, was eliminated by the flip of too many switches. Why does our little town need so many lights? We have the technology to diminish light pollution, still have the amount of light we need, and also be able to see the stars. I'm asking, why aren't we using it? I challenge our municipalities and everyone in our communities to ask the same question, to look at their exterior light fixtures and to take action to make them night sky friendly. It just takes a cap on the top and a 2200 Kelvin LED light bulb. Take the challenge. The night sky awaits you.
Well, thanks, Carol. Those are things we all might benefit from thinking about, and we'll talk about other ways that can be important for humans too in future programs.
Susan, being in Tucson, Arizona now for a while, what is your experience with the night sky?
Well, Tucson is a dark sky city. It's not a certified international dark sky place that we do hear about other places getting certified as, but they passed ordinances in 2012 controlling the lighting in the city because there are several observatories on the mountaintops surrounding the city. And these observatories are internationally used by people from all over the world, as well as the university and other entities here. They bring in a lot of money to the area, and they're very important historically for many years for research. As light pollution got worse, the observatories couldn't do their work. So the city of Tucson and the whole surrounding county, Pima County, developed dark sky ordinances that they put in place. And living in this city is quite a wonderful experience. We noticed it right away coming here a few years ago that it just has a quiet feel to it. The streets are, you can see where you're going. The streets are well lit enough that people get around just fine. Nobody's running into trees or light posts, and people can see pedestrians. There just is not any change in crime or accidents or problems because of the dark sky lighting here. There's a million people in this city, so it's a big place to be dark sky. I hate to say compliant, maybe that's not the right word, but to have dark sky lighting throughout the whole city.
What's it like when you walk out into your yard there at night?
Well, I walk out into my backyard and I can see not only the planets when they're up, I can see major constellations, and I can see also quite a few minor stars. I do not see a black sky with a full Milky Way, but I see a lot of stars overhead. And by going just out into the desert on the edge of town, we have a national park that borders the city limits. We have State Park that borders the city limits. And you go into these places and they commonly have telescope viewing nights and quite dark skies right at the edge of the city. It's like more like living out in the country where we are, but it's not quite like that. But it's, I think there's more light pollution looking straight up in Viroqua than there is in Tucson, in my experience.
Wow. It's hard to imagine being here in Viroqua and knowing what it's like when we look up and you can see a few stars, but you can't see a dark sky. Wow, that must be incredible living in Arizona, or at least Tucson, and being able to experience that. And the local people, do they have that same kind of response? What are their thoughts about night sky lighting?
Well, I've been interviewing people here, and I hate to say that at this time, most people go inside and look at their screens. So when they go out, they're going somewhere at night. They aren't sitting out in their backyards like we might do out in the country, but they don't have complaints, and they never have. There's been very little public complaint in any way since the beginning of the dark sky ordinances. People just go, well, whatever, it doesn't bother me. They can see to get around on their street and their property, and they can see to get in their car and go somewhere. So there has been no discernible difference in this city for how the city functions.
What is your favorite dark sky experience in Arizona?
Well, hiking at night is a thing here, and it's mostly started because it's so hot in the summer that people hike at night on the trails. And they do it in the winter too. And to go out on a trail where you get up into the mountain slopes in a canyon or up on a mountainside above the city and look directly down on the city while you're looking at a star-filled sky, people often crowd the trails to watch things like a planet conjunction or an eclipse or some special event in the sky. There'll be a lot of people out there sharing the trail with you to watch that and look at this beautiful, softly lit city below you that's quite pretty with its twinkling lights, but it's not a big blinding flare.
Well, I look forward to hearing more of your stories when you return in a couple months. So enjoy your time there in Arizona, Susan, and happy tracking, happy looking up, and happy, really nice warm weather there.
Yes, thank you. I'm enjoying it, and I'll be back soon.
Now a word from our sponsor, Sandhill Cranes. Question: how can you identify a sandhill crane? Answer: they're big.
They are. They're one of our largest birds. Typically, they're 3 to 4 feet tall, but they can be as tall as 4.5 feet or a little more. And their wingspans can be 6 to 6.5 feet. Adults have a red patch on their forehead, black legs, and plumage varying between gray and brown. The juvenile bird's feathers are cinnamon brown, and that allows them to blend into the early spring foliage of dried leaves and reeds, which is similar in color. Listen for their calls as they frequent the dawn and dusk skies in marshes near you.
Welcome back, beautiful birds.
You are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM in Viroqua, Wisconsin.
It's time for our March Nightlife calendar of events, brought to you by our sponsor, the Sandhill Cranes.
The Wisconsin Dark Sky Group monthly meeting is on Monday, March 3rd. That's today, folks, at 7 p.m. Go to their website, starryskiesnorth.org, for information and access to the meeting. Kickapoo Dark Sky Initiative Board of Directors meeting is Wednesday, March 5th at 6:30 and is open to the public. That's 6:30 p.m. There is a Zoom link for the meeting. Please contact Scott Lind at president@4darkskies.org. That's 4darkskies.org for the link. A total lunar eclipse of the moon will occur at 1:58 a.m. on March 14th. The eclipse will begin just before 11 p.m. and end around 5 a.m. If the sky is cloudy that night, go to NASA or spaceweather.com or some other astronomy website and find pictures and information. There'll be many astronomers out that night taking photos of the event. There will be a partial solar eclipse on March 29th. However, it won't be visible here in the Midwest, but only in northeastern states. So if you're traveling that direction, you might see two eclipses in 1 month. The spring equinox occurs on March 20th at 4:01 a.m. Central Daylight Time. It's commonly thought day and night are equal on this day, but that's not true. The date when day and night are equal is a few days before the equinox in the spring and a few days after it in the fall. In most regions, daytime is a bit longer than 12 hours on the equinox. March has a reputation for beginning quietly and ending with storms or vice versa. We all know the saying, March came in like a lion and went out like a lamb. That doesn't always hold true with our changing climate, but it still is something people look for and expect to experience. March is a busy month for weather, the beginning of everything growing, and we humans are looking for an end to a long winter so we can get outside and move around. Enjoy our march into spring.
The phenology report for March. Eagles are awaiting their chicks. Maple syrup has begun to flow as we anticipate the sweet taste of syrup and candy. Cardinals are singing their sweet spring duets, especially at dawn and dusk. Johnny jump-ups are blooming, a heart's ease from the winter. The water is open on lakes and ponds, while water can be heard running in rivers and streams. Ants have left their colonies and are foraging for food. Red-winged blackbirds are announcing their return, and Bohemian waxwings, pine siskins, and redpolls are visiting feeders. Geese are flying north in graceful V formations. Skunk cabbage is blooming and showing off its interesting horn-shaped flowers. Bears are emerging from their dens, seeking food and introducing their cubs to the world.
Well, Carol, there's a lot of misinformation circulating about energy-efficient devices, such as the LED light bulb. Don't be misled. LED light bulbs last much longer than incandescent bulbs. They utilize less energy, and they cost less to operate. Choose 2200 Kelvin LED bulbs for outdoor lights. Dare to question and dare to light the way.
Now a word from our sponsor, the Lunar Eclipse. It is a fact that it is safe to look at a lunar eclipse. When viewing a lunar eclipse, you do not need any special protection, as the moon is safe to look at directly, unlike the sun during a solar eclipse. Simply find a comfortable spot with a clear view of the sky and enjoy the sight. If you are in an area with significant light pollution, try to find a darker spot for better viewing.
And I'd like to suggest that when you're watching the eclipse, note the Terminator line. That's where sunlight and darkness meet. Usually this line does not move when viewing the crescent, quarter, or half moon, but during an eclipse, it passes across the whole face of the moon over the few hours of the eclipse. Use your binoculars to see details of the moon's surface that are highlighted by the boundary between dark and light. Mountains and craters appear in greater relief when they're seen directly lit, and you can see much more detail than at other times. Every part of the moon will be viewed during this one eclipse experience. A telescope brings even more detail to view. Also, note the colors of the moon through the binoculars. There may be more color variation and depth. it's worth staying up late or getting up early for a total lunar eclipse.
If you have children, the eclipse offers a great science experience. Unless it's overcast or you are a victim of light pollution, the moon and the earth guarantee a great show.
Well, now we're going to have the answer to today's quiz question. Where is the darkest sky in the U.S.?
If you answered Big Bend, Texas, you are correct. Known for its breathtaking vistas and hiking trails, Big Bend National Park in southwest Texas, officially designated in 2012 as an International Dark Sky Park, is a beautiful place to take in the night sky. One of the most remote places in America, it's about 6 hours from San Antonio and even further from any other urban area. So you won't have to deal much with light pollution obstructing your nighttime view.
Well, now we're going to have a message from Carol's parents.
Turn off the lights when you're not using them. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for that wise rule. Remember, turn off the lights when you leave the room. They are easy to turn back on when you need them again.
Well, Carol, it looks like we've come to the end of our March program. Take your binoculars when you go out to view the night sky, and remember to watch the lunar eclipse, even if you do have to get up in the middle of the night to do it.
And also, remember to choose your outdoor lights carefully.
Dark skies are important to the health of people and all living beings. I'm Susan.
And I'm Carol. Thanks for joining us.
Remember, turn off your lights, go outside, and look at the stars.